You are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
Christmas Day, you get up and you think, do I really want to go to this service on Christmas Day in the morning? And it's, I don't know. And you go and you say, I'm glad I went. That's a real encouragement. And it shows a really great priority choice, I think. Well, today, let's take a moment to look at the Word of God and see what hope and truth it can offer to us. We want to talk about the king in a manger, and I want to make the point that political leaders always disappoint us. This is a year that demonstrates that very clearly, doesn't it? We would like to stop thinking about this thing of politics. We would like it to go away just as much as we'd like a whole lot of other things to go away. But this is as old as the hills and the mountains, this problem of political leaders not really coming through. Because here's the thing about political leaders. Whether you're talking about kings or presidents, mayors or whatever you want to speak about, they always disappoint. Every single time. They never come through and they never actually do everything they said that they would. Now, some are better at that than others. Some get more done than others. Some behave better than others. But they always disappoint. And that was the case for the nation of Israel. In the nation of Israel, they knew what it was like to be disappointed by their political leaders. First, they chose. God allowed the Israelite people to choose their own king. They picked a guy they were sure would do a good job. He was tall and handsome and very polite, from a very special tribe of Benjamin, King Saul. And he ended a miserable, depressed failure, throwing a fit like a little child. And then there was King David, the man after God's own heart. And he had so many positive qualities, I would vote for him. But to vote for him, I would have to overlook a few moral failures to even do that. King David had some sins of his own that were embarrassing to associate with, though he was perhaps the best king Israel ever had. Then his son Solomon, if he was running for president, would be billed as the wisest man you've ever seen walk the face of the earth. He has so much wisdom, he will make such amazing choices. And he did. And then he married hundreds and hundreds of wives, and you are left wanting something better. His son, Rehoboam, split the kingdom in half by following bad counselors, his buddies, rather than wise people. And so at that point, the nation of Israel split into two. And this is the history of Israel, two nations for several hundred years. And they had a total of, between the two of them, 43 or so kings, including Athaliah, you could say 44 if you want to include her as a queen. As Americans, we've had 45, almost 46 presidents. They've all disappointed us. And so will the next ones. We have to realize this sooner or later. They're never going to deliver what they say. They're never going to be what we want. They never can. Isaiah chapter 7 tells us about a king named Ahaz and a man, a prophet named Isaiah. Ahaz was in trouble. He was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel. But the northern king of Israel was going to invade him and take him over. This was a brotherly spat. He's going to invade the southern kingdom. And Ahaz decided, I have a plan. I'm going to go to the king of Syria, this big superpower. I'm going to make a deal with them, a treaty, and he's going to defend me because I know he doesn't like this, the northern kingdom. Well, he did form a treaty, but he didn't have to because the northern kingdom was going to take out Israel anyway. And he did. And once he was done with that, he was done with the southern tribe as well. And Ahaz, to save his nation's life, offered so much to the king of Syria, he couldn't pay it all. And so he had to offer himself and his kingdom as servants to Syria. But he didn't have to do that. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7 told him, God will deliver you. Just ask for him a sign. He will prove to you that he will deliver you. And Ahaz said, no, I will not ask for a sign. He sounded very spiritual at that moment. But God had told him to. Then you fast forward to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This verse fits well with us right now at the end of an election cycle, heading into a new presidential cycle, the end of a crazy year politically, into another one that's going to be just as crazy, I assure you. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says this. Unto us a child is born, or will be born is the idea. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. There is only one ruler who will not disappoint. And that is the ruler that Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 9:6. Ahaz blew it. Every other king up to that point had blown it. Every king after would blow it. Now, it's interesting, when you read this prophecy in Isaiah 9:6, some Bible scholars suggest he's talking about Hezekiah, Ahaz's son, who would be born. He, not his father, would lead Israel to glorious days. Now, Hezekiah actually was one of the handful of good kings in the southern kingdom. He actually reversed many of his father's terrible policies and enacted godly policies instead. But like his father, near the end of his life, he acted in arrogance and pride and showed off his stuff to the king of Syria. And God said, your arrogance stinks. And he gave him a life-threatening illness. Because of his pride. God healed him of that illness. He had 15 more years to live. But God told him, your son is not going to fare as well. And Israel is going to be in trouble again. Because of your pride. Doesn't it stink when our political leaders have pride? It's repulsive. And even the good kings of Israel had this problem in their heart. So, what's interesting here in Isaiah 9:6 is that we're not talking about Ahaz. We're not talking about Ahaz's son. In fact, the word king is actually mysteriously missing from this entire prophecy. It's as though God is telling us there's a king coming, but I really don't want to associate him with these other kings, so I'll describe him in other terms. But he is a king. We understand that. This king would be a child. He would not come into the world with massive armies and firepower, bowling everybody over with diplomatic skill. He would come into the world as a child, a baby, which indicates this would be a human child. It also tells us that this would be a son who is given. Interesting terminology. This is not just a child who would be born, but a son who would be given as a gift. There's something more here than just a birth, but a birth, a human birth, is a part of it. This would be a son given, setting him apart from the other kings who were simply born. He would take full responsibility for governing, and you would say, good, Ahaz needs to go. But this king would take full responsibility. Notice what it says. The government will be on his shoulder. Which means, in American terminology, he will take the executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch, federal, state, local, and community levels, all at once, and he'll just take charge. This is called a dictator. But notice what it says. It doesn't say, and the government of Israel will be on his shoulder. What does it say? The government in general. Which means we're not just talking here about a king of Israel, though it is a king who would sit on the throne of David. This is a king for all governments. This is a king who will solve the problems in Iran. This is a king who will solve the problems in China, in Brazil, in Mexico, and in Canada, in Europe, and the United States of America all at once. All government will be on his shoulders at all levels. So, if that's the kind of leader we're going to get with this child, I hope it's a good one. Dictators are terrible things when they are evil. But this one is not. He is going to be a wonderful counselor. We know that Solomon had wonderful counsel until he counseled himself into hundreds of ill-advised marriages. We know that Rehoboam had counselors until he set them aside and picked his buddies instead. And then he split the kingdom in half. Kings are supposed to give good counsel, but they don't always do that, and they don't always surround themselves with good counselors. We know what it's like when a president makes a well-advised decision, meaning they took the advice we like. But we don't like it when the same person makes a bad advised decision, which means they listen to the counselors we don't like. You can't find a president or king who makes all the decisions I prefer. This one is not as interested in what you prefer, but what is best in every situation. This wonderful counselor means that the insights, advice, plans, and strategies, the policies of this one will be wonderful. What king or president or mayor or governor can you say about their policies? Oh, their policies are wonderful. Their ideas are always a home run. How do they come up with these ideas? They're amazing. I mean, right now, Congress is amazing, but for the wrong reason. They can't seem to make a decision that makes any sense. This one, his counsel, his strategies and policies will literally amaze you. They will be wonderful, supernatural. He also will be the mighty God. I know some presidents who would hint at this, but can never actually say this is who they are. I know kings in history who have claimed to be as much the Roman Caesars claim to be God. A God, one of a series of gods. This one would be the mighty God. And this is the one that Israel will know. This is the God we have worshipped. A mighty God. This will not just be a baby born, but will be God of heaven himself. Isaiah 10:21 uses this exact terminology just a chapter later to describe Jehovah. I'm going to get concerned if our current or next president calls himself the mighty God. But this is one king. You will say, I'm glad you are. I want a king. I want a president who is God. That's really what all of our hearts desire, isn't it? One who is an everlasting father. This is another term that indicates this is a divine ruler that will come. But not because the word Father is used. This is not a reference to God the Father, because God the Father is not God the Son. This is not some complicated mystery of how the Son is the Father, because the Father and the Son are distinct persons. One God. This is referring to this king as a fatherly figure. A good king is one who treats his subjects like a father cares for his children. You ever known a president to do this? Who takes care of us and we feel like we've got a dad in the White House? We don't ever quite get that, do we? If you had a king who treated you like a little child and cared for you and protected you and took up things for you and had your back for you and was merciful to you and trained you, gave you opportunities like a father, that's the kind of king I want. one who doesn't just treat his son as a child, but all his subjects too. This king will do that. But the thing that tells us he is divine is the first word, everlasting. No king can say they are everlasting. In America, we have things called term limits, but even dictators with no term limits die. No king is everlasting. And if they say that they are, you can dismiss them in your mind. They're not. This is an everlasting, which means this one will care for the helpless, care for the discipline of his people, and treat his people like a father forever. It's everlasting. One of the kings of Israel, Manasseh, reigned 55 years. The next longest, Uzziah, 52. Hezekiah, only 29. This one, forever. And he will be the Prince of Peace. Every world ruler wants to bring peace, claims to be able to bring peace, but none of them have the ability to do it. Why? Because they cannot solve the reason for no peace, which is lack of peace in our hearts with God. This is the problem no king or president can solve. No policy can resolve. Sin in our hearts towards God. This king will be able to solve the sin problem in the heart of all people and remove the source of unrest from the world. Who is this ruler? Jesus is this ruler who will not disappoint, and he has now been born and given. Luke chapter 2 and 11 tells us that he is the child born. There is born to you. There will be born to us, Isaiah said. Born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. John 3:16 tells us he is the Son who is given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have not just a good life in this world, but everlasting life. Revelation 11:15 tells us that this is the King. The kingdoms of the world, the everlasting Father, have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Colossians 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom, the mighty, the wonderful counselor. All wisdom is treasured up in him. Then looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the mighty God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our great God, Paul says. Hebrews 7:25. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives everlasting to make intercession for us. He will never stop, even today, doing what needs to be done on our behalf. John 14:7, the Prince of Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the governments of this world give, do I give to you. I give peace in your heart with God. How should we respond this Christmas? First, we should trust in Christ for genuine peace with God. Trust in Christ for genuine peace with God. If you have never turned to Christ as your God and Savior, do it today, because he will give you the peace no one in this world can offer. No religion can offer this. No good deeds. No holy holidays, no celebrations, no giving of gifts, kind deeds can give you this peace. Only the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, can deliver you from your sins. Turn to him and trust in him. Do not be like Ahaz and say, I will not. Finally, to all of us who are believers in Christ, stop placing your hope in political leaders, other than Christ. If you've been doing that for the last 4 years, I hope you realize you need to stop. And if you're planning to do that for the next 4 years, I hope you consider maybe not doing that. You say, well, what about the next 4 years? Don't do it then either. Okay? No political leader in your lifetime, in the future, or in the past has ever or will ever come through. The only one who can, is, and will is Jesus Christ. And it's on Him that we place our hope at Christmas and in the new year and for the year that is to come and throughout our lives. And He will give us peace. And I tell you, there's coming a day when all the crooked politics of this world will come to a screeching halt when He returns to finish what He started at Christmas.